if you look back in in Irish education, say from 1922 to the 1960s, one of the big issues was culture, an Irish culture and the Irish language. And to some extent, that has been moved out of the education debate, the role of culture. And yes, when we come to looking at the heritage that has to do between a religious involvement in schools and the Irish language, we get a very different approach to how we should be handling schools. And there's almost very different standards being promoted for patrons of all Irish schools and patrons of religious schools, without identifying the fact that both of these are cultural values. And if I'm running an all-Irish school or if I'm running a denominational school, I'm trying to give students an immersion experience in that cultural value. And yet there are very different demands being made on the patrons of these schools to serve an economic model and you know, let the government off the hook in terms of what it might be doing for people who have different values.
Also, it's noticeable that in the whole discussion about patronage, whilst it's clear, and the minister is clear, that he wants the Catholic schools divested of a certain percentage of their patrons, it's not too clear what's going to go in its place. Is that partly why you're writing this book, that people have got to wake up and say, what, you know, we want something in its place, not a vacuum that anything can fall into?
I suppose that was part of the idea. I think the idea that you can divest the schools of one patron and put in someone else doesn't solve the problem that is being promoted, that it's not suiting everyone's parents' choice. I mean, the theme that seems to be underlying a lot of the patronage issue was parental choice in education. But it's if there's a private patron, no matter who they are, and I have sent my child to a particular school, if I'm a non-religious person and they've gone into a denominational school, I have a problem with the patron there because they're trying to promote a particular ethos. But if I'm a religious person and the school nearest to me and the school is a non-denominational or a non-religious school, now I have another problem because I want my child to have religious education. So all the time what is happening is you're setting up the parent to argue with a private patron, and now you have a clash of rights, and how that's going to be solved is problematic. Whereas one of the things that's not being examined a lot is the proper role of the state in setting up a state system where the state has some sense of what the common good is, and that's something that's open to political debate and to some type of comment by the electorate on how people are performing from time to time.
Do you think the state has really grasped this nettle? Because, you know, there is a possibility then also that unless we really start to look at what we mean by an education system for Irish people, let's say somebody could come along and say, well, we want, you know, an education for our children in, say, fundamental Islam, or in the Catholic side, there may be people who say, I know our children are not getting proper training in the faith. You know, there is a liberal conservative divide. I know people don't like those terms, but let's face it, they're there. And suddenly we're left with loads of individual interests looking to be serviced and calling it their right.
Yeah, and that's and this is where I think understanding issues about rights becomes very important in that case. So that people have a liberty to educate their children whichever way they want. But it doesn't guarantee them the context in which that's going to happen. So, and that's where issues about the common good and the politics of the common good become very important, that the state is where that common good and that common vision is negotiated as to where people can make claims. So the state would say, this is an education system that the state will support, and you can have a claim on that for support to that extent of what the education you want for your child. And after that, you have to look after it yourself. Now, you cannot do that as easily if you have private patrons who set up for a particular purpose. So there is a very key role in organising or distinguishing what is the role of the state in setting up an education system and how it can monitor and provide for the common good within that. And I think that's an issue that wasn't addressed at all in the forum on patronage. It's not an issue that is being grasped, as far as I can see, at the in the primary sector at the moment. It's really playing one patron off against the other, and you know which patron is flavour of the month at the moment, which patron should be out. And in some cases, there's a very strong anti-Catholic feeling without replacing it with a positive vision of anything else. It's a negative vision of Catholic education. In other cases, it's presenting a particular patron because of a personal loyalty to them rather than a particular aspect of their vision. And in other cases, that you know, people are promoting a particular vision of what they want without always a regard to what the common good might be. And I think in the forum patronage, that became very evident when people talked about the difference between urban areas and rural areas. And the idea was that in a rural area, there should be a common school where everyone gets on together, and if you like, the patron cedes their rights to deal with the common good. Whereas in urban areas, we institutionalize difference in different schools, and people choose to go to different schools because we have a variety of different patrons around. It's a very different concept, and therefore what you'd experience in education would be very different depending on whether you were in a rural or an urban setting. And that seemed to be very strange.